little personnel news out of the Trump transition. Monica Crowley, who for a long time has been a Fox News personality, was about to join the National Security Council at the Trump White House. CNN's K-File doing some extensive reporting about plagiarism by Monica Crowley, including in a 2012 book she wrote. The Trump transition initially defended her, but we are now getting word she will not be joining the Trump staff at the White House, will not be joining the National Security Council staff as a key spokeswoman.
U.S. President-elect Donald Trump has an offer for Russia. Have its president, Vladimir Putin, agree to a new nuclear arms deal, and sanctions placed for the annexation of Crimea will be lifted. This from a joint interview with the Times of London and Germany's Bild newspaper.
Our total lunar stay time is planned for 73 hours, which is obviously a little more than 3 days. Let me just say that I think every crew, because of the way they get involved on it, feels a tremendous sense of responsibility. Well, because of the responsibility that's been given him, not just simply the opportunity, but, it's a big thing when someone puts a spacecraft in your hands and is not meaningful just on a small scale, but it's meaningful on a worldwide scale.
Now, WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Today is Tuesday. It's January 17th, 2017. Another business day, another business week for many of you who may have had yesterday off. The markets are open and running this morning. Lots to talk about. We've got some great guests for you. Later in the program, we're going to be talking a little about why, if you're a business owner, you should be on social media. We'll talk about the ins and outs of getting there. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk about if you are on social media or presenting something for an advertising presentation, why having movies and visuals are important. We'll talk to an advertising guru. But first, let's set you up to date on some of the news that you may have missed. Since yesterday, you heard they're the last man on the moon. Gene Cernan from Chicago died yesterday at the age of 82. A wonderful guy. Had the opportunity to interview him in person in 2009, and I remember him telling me then, as passionate as he always has been about space, that we can't stop exploring. He was imploring the then administration of the United States to continue funding for the Moon, Mars, and Beyond program. As a matter of fact, in his book, he wrote The Last Man on the Moon. In a statement yesterday, his family drew attention to it. One of the goodbyes of that book, and said to his granddaughter at the time, 5-year-old granddaughter, "Your poppy went to heaven." He really did. Of course, he was talking then about the moon, but today we mourn the death of Eugene Cernan, the last man to walk on the moon. Also, since you've slept overnight, there's a development you heard there about Monica Crowley. There is a word today now that another of the Trump cabinet picks is in trouble. Representative Tom Price, according to CNN, last year purchased shares in a medical device manufacturer days before introducing legislation that would have directly benefited the company, raising new concerns for the President-elect Trump's nominee for Health and Human Services Secretary. You'll probably be hearing a little bit about that in the days ahead. Also, China has appeared before the World Economic Forum in Davos. The president of China is leading the delegation there. He's told the business and world leaders there that it would be hard to stop the flow of capital around the world, put any controls on it. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are pointing toward opening losses off 91 points already. S&P and NASDAQ futures are also lower this morning. NASDAQ futures off about 27 points. Crude oil is trading up just a few ticks. And the dollar is against the yen, stronger, declined rather, against the yen and euro. Benchmark crude oil hit $52.50 per barrel. It is up just again a few ticks this morning. If you are one of those people that has to prepare advertising presentations, or maybe you're the social media director for your company, it is important to have visuals involved with your presentations. As a matter of fact, there's now scientific evidence to show how movies open people up, inspire people, and even align people with the same headspace. This is according to the author of Get to the Heart. Ted Frank is an advertising guru. He works in the San Francisco area for Backstories Studio, and he is with us this morning. Ted, first, thanks for being with us on The Opening Bell. Tell us what you mean here about the visuals. There's so many different kinds of visuals that we think of. What exactly are you talking about?
Well, and there's a couple things. You know, first is that your eyes can help your brains really understand what's going on, and that's a much quicker connection and easier connection for your brain. And let's say if you've got 6 to 8 meetings a day, and it's chart after chart after chart, and word after word after word, then you need your brain needs all the help it can get. But it also does something else, which is that, like, you take the word fish. If I say the word fish, you might think of a fish on a plate or a fish in a pond. But if I show you Jaws, then everybody knows, everybody sees the same fish in the same way, and it puts everybody on the same page. And it has so much more impact.
So for somebody who does a lot of presentations on social media and elsewhere, I always have struggled with doing the charts and stuff. Those always seem like a lot of work. Photographs mm-hmm. are a different thing. Graphics are another thing that I'm pretty good at. But video, it seems like that's another step forward. I mean, what kind of background and experience does a person need to incorporate video?
Well, a lot of times you can just grab things from YouTube if it's a small audience and it's confidential. So then you're within the legal limits, although it should definitely consult with your attorneys. But often you can the best route is to go to a video production company or a company that does shoot video and get them to shoot for you, because it definitely is something that's a lot of work. And a lot of times, if you don't do it properly, then it doesn't serve you well.
There's a lot of, in researching our talk today, I kind of went on and found there are a bunch of sites popping up, too, that make this video production a little easier. There's one site I saw that actually, it's like a storyboard sort of situation where you can create the storyboards, and then it puts together automatically for you for a video for free. I mean, so there's all kinds mm-hmm. of ways online where you can at least learn how to do this.
Yeah, and I think one of the other key points is video is absolutely perfect in a lot of circumstances, but if you just think about the way that movies tell stories and you emulate some of the techniques they use in just the way that you put together your presentation, you can already just leapfrog so many other people and really up the engagement of your presentation and up the impact so that you do get buy-in. And so there's a lot you can do without ever picking up a camera or even including it in a video.
Ted Frank is an advertising guru whose new book is called Get to the Heart. We'll continue our pre-done business conversation with Ted coming up on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. A few movers of stocks of local interest. Hyatt Hotels is up almost 1% this morning. Down almost 1% is Equity Residential. It's 5:20.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, investors returned to work after the MLK holiday. Overseas Asian stocks declined after Britain said Prime Minister Theresa May will announce London's plans to quickly withdraw completely from the European Union. President-elect Donald Trump has put German automakers on notice. A border tax of 35% will be imposed on vehicles imported into the U.S. Trump criticized BMW, Mercedes, and Volkswagen for not building more of their products on American soil. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg will testify this week in Dallas in a $2 billion copyright infringement and intellectual property lawsuit over Facebook's virtual reality headset. On Monday, before the start of the civil trial, he headed out to a troubled neighborhood and helped to clean up a vacant lot. And Alaska Airlines is rolling out free in-flight access to three popular messaging apps, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, and Apple's iMessage. The carrier also is launching its previously announced premium economy service as well as new meal options. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We're on this morning with advertising guru Ted Frank. He's with the company Backstory Studio out of San Francisco. He's written a new book called Get to the Heart about inspiring people to use graphics and visuals, mainly movies and presentations. You'll be surprised that science now shows the evidence. These are very helpful in those presentations. Ted, before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about this science. There's also, besides the actual visuals of it, though, if you're writing one of these presentations, the writing is really important. I know in journalism school, they always taught us you're not going to be a good journalist unless you know how to write. Same story for visual presentations?
Absolutely. I would say there's three things that make movies such a perfect story model for corporations, and that's that they're simple, they're real, and they're powerful. And first, starting with being simple and really cutting your presentation down to maybe the three most important things that you want people to come away with, and building your story around that makes it not only easier on them because it makes it more simple, it makes it easier on you because now it's so much easier to craft your presentation because you only have three things. And that's one thing that screenwriters do is most big movies are all built around three key scenes. And the screenwriters come up with those first, and they use them as beacons. So then you can write a movie like Rocky in 3.5 days, which is how long Sylvester Stallone took to write it. And that really helps. But then, so it's being simple and then being real, which is kind of what you were talking about with the photographs, where if you express things visually, then they feel much more real to the people you're speaking to. So even an abstract concept like a chart, if you can attach a photo to it that helps people get it, see it, then they get a handle on it and they remember it so much more poignantly. And then in terms of powerful, it's a lot like what you do with the radio, where it's about creating moments and using emotion and using anticipation and, you know, tension and things like that to really create a moment where people really get it and then they really remember it and they can relay it to other people. Those things are the kind of, you put those three together and people can come away with a story that then they can go to their teams and they can relay it. And that's what really makes your project hum.
We're proud here in the Opening Bell to have a lot of different folks in our audience, from the corporate types at Boeing to mom-and-pop businesses to startups, lots of startups. And I'm hearing them all say, this probably cost money to do this the right way. There's a writer, there's a photographer. You mentioned you can find some videos cheaply or free online. But when you're a company and you have all these legal ramifications, you really have to start thinking about maybe having people do it. Or can a person who's in a startup do this on their own?
You know, a person in the startup can definitely do it on his or her own. But yeah, like, it definitely takes investment and it takes a lot of time to do it right, which is, you know, why the learning from the way the movies tell stories and incorporating those things into your presentation can do for free. What? And it's about, you know, yeah, starting it that way.
What are, I'm sure you've seen examples of success stories and horrible failures in this area. What would be an example of both?
Actually, yeah, I can give you a before and after that starts with a failure and ends with a success, and it's one, and it's the same project. We worked with one of the big car companies, and they wanted to come up with the new kinds of cars that we would drive in 2025. And in the first round, what they did was they took a presentation to the top leaders of their company, and it was a 2-hour, 130 slide presentation deck. And it fell flat. And it was because it was all about charts and graphs. And the directors of the company couldn't really get a handle on it. So then in the second round, they did it right. And what they did was we did a series of two videos. And one was about how they went out and they did a bunch of research. And they figured out what the big insights were. Then we kind of took it to a chapter two of the video where that helped them develop a really, really astute strategy that was really sophisticated. And then from that, they developed these amazing car designs that really, and it was really put the whole story together. And it was one fluid, you know, line from, you know, really, really smart investigation to amazing concepts. And they made that video part of the heart of the presentation, but they also took a lot of the same concepts that movies have with keeping it simple and keeping it visual and making it powerful. And at the end, they got the green light for their project. And we will be driving those cars in 2025, and we will be so happy because they are really, really cool.
It may take a little time and effort for people to learn this if they haven't, or they don't want to hire somebody who already has this knowledge, but the payoff in terms of financial gain for a company can be quite significant, can it?
Absolutely. Like, if you're talking about one of those big presentations that you do maybe twice or three times a year where it's really got to move the needle and it might be informing, you know, $1 million or even $1 billion decision, then yeah, absolutely, you know, investing in making your story as impactful as possible so that everybody not only gets it, but they get behind it, can absolutely give you huge returns. You know, everybody works really hard to, you know, to get the information that they have. And, you know, So if you can really put it together in an impactful way, then you can reap the fruits of all your hard work.
What would you say would be the first step that someone should take if they're thinking about improving this area of their business or corporation?
Well, of course, this is where I would normally plug the book.
Please
but,
do.
Okay. Well, definitely, there's a lot of techniques that you can take that are in the book, in my book, Get to the Heart, and it's available on Amazon, and it's available in an interactive version on iTunes. But really, it's thinking about what are the three big things that you want people to come away with, and emphasizing those three would be my first step. Because most people evenly emphasize 10 or 15, and then no one remembers the same things. If you choose those three ahead of time, then you get to decide what the people watching your presentation come away with.
Ted, I almost think this is just as important if you're a brick-and-mortar store of having walls and to have advertising. It's just as important as those things if you're doing a business or just, you know, running a social media account.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody's got the same everybody's got the same challenge. They've got to cut through the clutter and get heard. This can definitely help you do that.
Ted, great talk, great conversation. This is free advice, folks, so listen to Ted. He knows what he's talking about. It's good to have you with us, Ted.
Thank you, Steve. It was great to be on your show.
Ted Frank is with Backstory Studio in San Francisco. You can follow on Twitter at Backstories TV. Check out his book at gettotheheartbook.com from Ted Frank, advertising guru.
From ABC News, Tech Trends, archiving the Internet.
You might think of it as a church of data.
As Trump takes office. In San Francisco, a group called the Internet Archive is working in an old church to back up everything that's been on the Internet up to this point.
Perhaps the largest digital public library in the world.
Now, as President-elect Donald Trump gets set to take office, founder Brewster Kahle says they want to hold Trump accountable with something they call the Trump Archive after Trump's numerous attacks against the press.
I'm not going to give you a question. You are fake news.
Said things like he wanted to close up parts of the Internet and freedom of the press. He mocked freedom of the press.
TV archive director Roger McDonald says they'll work with news agencies to fact check a collection of televised speeches and interviews.
You'll see who fact checked it and a direct link to the source of the fact check.
The archive is well on their way to raising their goal of $5 million to get backup servers in Canada. With Tech Trends, I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 540 as we continue our conversation this morning about digital marketing. In our first segment, we talked about the importance of having some sort of visuals there, maybe movies or photographs. Now we're just going to be having a conversation about why it's important to be there in the first place online. And the book is called Online or Flatline. The author is Nick Choate, and he's with us this morning. Nick, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you because this is so important. Our first guest talked to us about how it's important to make these presentations, whether they're online or before a boardroom, visual and have graphics and video. But it's surprising to know that there are still people that aren't even in the space online. How dangerous is that to businesses and companies and startups and people?
Well, you know, there's a lot of war stories out there. In fact, I personally experienced it myself with my own business. But, you know, I kind of look at it like whether we as individuals appreciate the social and the digital world, our customers do. They're there. You know, they're out there, whether it's Twitter or Facebook, they're going to be in that space. So, you know, like a good business, you need to be where those customers are. And the downside of it is they can go off and, you know, if you don't control your digital presence, they can go off and start to control it themselves. Without your knowledge, and that's even the worst thing that can happen. An example just from yesterday, we had a disgruntled customer in one of our stores, and he took it out on us in Facebook. And, you know, if I wasn't there, I wasn't seeing this happen. Fortunately, we dealt with it, by the way, but I couldn't have known that was happening out there. And everybody that comes to that Facebook page is going to see that interaction now, good or bad. So it's a pretty dangerous position if you're not present.
You have a lot of experience with this. You've been with Kroger. You worked for Boeing, Ernst & Young. So you've had some big-time experience in this regard. All of these companies do have digital presence. There are a few companies that don't, the big companies. Is this more of a small business problem than it is a big business problem?
You know, I suspect that's probably true. Big businesses started investing in this part of their marketing presence years ago. The good ones did especially, and have evolved it over time. But the small business owner, and that's who I deal with, is, you know, when there's affordability issues or perceived for affordability issues, they don't feel like they've got the time or the skills to go do that. And that was kind of the motivation for me to pull the book together, is to kind of demystify this space and say, no, you can do that. You don't have to be a technical genius. You have to invest to learn. But, you know, it's worth doing, and anybody can pick that up if they can truly commit to go do that.
You know, businesses, especially the small businesses that we deal with here and talk with a lot, especially startups, the money is tight. They don't have a lot of capital to deal with some of these areas. Give us a sense of how successful the success stories are.
You know, and I'm a big fan of affordability here as well, and that's one of my biggest pushes is, you know, other than time spent to be involved in the digital presence. And there's some upfront costs for a website and things of that nature. But once you're in, you have that basic technology in place, the time and the cost is pretty relatively small. You know, for example, you know, being active in Facebook as a business owner, that really costs you nothing other than your time and creativity to, you know, be present on the space with your customers. I mean, I do simple things like, I own Sport Clips Haircuts, a couple of stores, and, you know, we'll take pictures of kids in, you know, in the store getting their hair cut, you know, and the kids are happy, the mom's happy, you know, you post this with their permission, of course, and, you know, you've made a fan for life almost with this family as they see their kids and their, you know, relatives and things of that nature. That really costs you nothing other than your time and creativity to go do that. Now, there are paid aspects of this, you know, for paid advertising and things like that. But relative to other options, it's still pretty cheap.
Yeah, and I can't imagine if being a startup and paying tens of thousands of dollars for some sort of survey of my customers when you could really go on Facebook and do it for free.
Right, yeah. Right. And they will talk to you. They will talk to you. Now, some will just be there. They'll see what you're doing. But you can get a real sense for how healthy your business is if you're present. But you have to be there. You can't go out once every 6 months and post a "We're Wonderful" post. You know, you gotta do the kids' haircuts. You gotta do the, you know, the goofy things. You gotta take pictures of, you know, hairstylist in my example and things like that. But if you're not there, you're not gonna know that. This is kind of a finger in the pulse. It's like I tell it. You know, if you own a restaurant, you're in that restaurant 7 days a week. You're talking to your customers all the time. It's just the nature of the beast. Well, now that's virtually extended into the social space, where you get the same kind of interactions.
Nick, the title of the book is Online or Flatline. That's the flatline part of that's pretty scary. Is this do or die for people? I mean, is that why you chose this title?
Yeah, you know, it's a dramatic title, but it's kind of meaningful in that, let's just pick, and I know the millennials get picked on a lot here, and I'm not picking on them. I love the millennial generation, but they grew up on social, and that's not going away. The next generation, millennial plus one, whatever it's called, is going to be more involved in the digital space. So if a small business owner isn't there, you can guarantee you're going to lose the millennials and then subsequent generations. And then eventually your market starts to dry up because this is not going away. This is only getting more profound as these generations advanced. And you can look over 30 years, it's been the same. That's not changing.
Yeah, and we've been talking a lot in this conversation about businesses, but this is really for not-for-profit organizations, too, and, you know, charities and associations, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the social space for charities is really, really powerful in that, you know, the nature of not-for-profit is emotion and, you know, feeling passionate about something. How best to describe that with a tool that's designed for social engagement? You know, regardless of the cause you're after, if it's, you know, shelter dogs or something like that, you know, to be able to touch the hearts and minds of the donor base or the potential donor base is really ripe for not-for-profits in the social space.
Right, and some of the social media sites like Facebook, I'm thinking of particularly, you now have that donate button on there, so you could not only connect with your donors but have them donate as well.
Right, and that's the beauty. I mean, I'm a Facebook fan, because they continue to invest in things of capabilities like that. And it's wonderful. I mean, it's already there. You may have to spend a little bit of money to get that pushed out to your audience, but relative to, you know, other options, it's pretty inexpensive and pretty powerful.
What advice would you have for folks who are already in the space that are dealing with the frustration that you mentioned at the beginning, and that is the trolls that come out and just start attacking you? That could be a nonstop job, patrolling that sort of thing. What would you tell people?
You know, this is near and dear. And in fact, there's a whole topic around this. But in general, quickly, you know, you have to be professional. You know, you can't and you shouldn't argue with a troll, even though they may be 100% wrong and spiteful. You may want to poke them in the eye. It's not worth it. Be professional. Thank them for their feedback. Ask them for more specifics and offer to take this conversation out of social media at that point. You know, give them a phone number to call or some way to interact with you outside of social media, because if you start to interact with the trolls, they'll take that and they'll run with it. It makes things a lot worse, a lot worse.
Yeah, and as we saw from the holidays, retail sector had a big online holiday season. This isn't going away, is it? If anything, it's going to be expanding and growing.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, and that's part of my premise in some of the lead-up in the book is, like, you know, 30 years ago when I got started in this industry, it was a small part of it, but it's only adding to itself now. And it's not going to change. These big companies like Disney and all that, they're continuing to invest in Facebook and Google and things of that nature. So they're going to, you know, this is going to keep going on. And the outcome of those big company investments is benefiting small businesses now. And that's the beauty of it. You don't have to be a Disney to be able to play in this space. The tools are there. And thanks to Facebook and Google and all those great companies, they're there for business owners. You just have to use them.
Nick Choate is the author of Online or Flatline, the Small Business Owner's Guide to Digital Marketing. And you can follow Nick on Twitter as well at Nick Choate, C-H-O-A-T. Nick, good of you to be with us today. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We are monitoring from the U.K. right now, the Prime Minister of Great Britain talking about Brexit. Let's listen just a moment to Theresa May.
It was the moment we chose to build a truly global Britain. I know that this and the other reasons Britain took such a decision is not always well understood among our friends and allies in Europe. And I know many fear that this might herald the beginning of a greater unravelling of the EU. But let me be clear, I do not want that to happen. It would not be in the best interests of Britain. It remains overwhelmingly and compellingly in Britain's national interest that the EU should succeed.
Theresa May, the Prime Minister of the UK, delivering a speech. We're going to keep monitoring this off the air for you. She has said that she wants the UK to emerge stronger, fairer, and more united. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, to coincide with the speech, we are seeing Dow futures now off 101 points, S&P and NASDAQ futures also sharply lower. In Europe, all of the indices now have turned lower, with the DAX and the CAC and FTSE all losing almost 0.5% to 1%. It's time now to check in with Orion Samuelson. Good morning, Orion.
Good morning, Steve, from Des Moines, Iowa, where for the past 24 hours they've had a fistful of weather. To the north of us, winter storm warnings. To the south of us, heavy fog warning and ice storm warning. All of that coming together on a day that FarmLogic, an agricultural technology company, is holding a field demonstration day. I'll be speaking at that event just a little bit later for the folks at FarmLog. But, of course, might be a good idea to remind you where we'll start trading this day after the three-day holiday trading week. February lean hogs will start today at $65.60 a hundredweight. February live cattle at $118.52 a hundredweight. And January feeder cattle will start the trading session at $130.45. The grain market did fairly well after the final 2016 crop report that we got last week. We find the market moving higher after those 2 days. And so the grain market will start with March wheat at 426 a bushel, March corn at 358.5. January soybeans at 10.42.5. Later this week on Thursday, I'll be at the iHotel in Champaign again for FarmLogic to speak to farmers in eastern Illinois, western Indiana. Max will head for Washington, D.C. to drive a tractor in the inaugural parade. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuels.
And now the Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Tuesday, January 17th. British Prime Minister Theresa May delivering a speech on a Brexit. Markets reacting early to that. The World Economic Forum annual meeting continues in Davos. The leader of China has spoken to the group. The vice president is there, will deliver a response and a speech later on today. We'll also hear from the American Medical Association. Researchers have been studying how patients have been surprised by medical bills from out-of-network specialists and what those bills are for and why they are so high. New study on that is coming out. Confirmation hearings continue on Capitol Hill. The Interior Secretary will be grilled. The Senate GAO, the Senate convenes and will consider a resolution allowing the GAO to continue its oversight work and to continue its work. The U.S. Conference of Mayors 85th winter meeting is underway in D.C. today. And, by the way, this is the 95th birthday of actress Betty White, better known for her work on The Golden Girls, also lately on Hot in Cleveland, and, of course, on The Mary Tyler Moore Show.